thank you so much for talking to us. I know this is a very busy time for you.
Yes, well, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to take the time and have the opportunity. Thank you.
You were recently in Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and Kyrgyzstan. What was the focus of the trip?
It was partly an opportunity for me to meet the leaderships in the countries and understand their perspectives and understand the issues they think are important, both in our bilateral relationship, but more broadly in their world standing. But it was also great timing because it came just after President Obama had announced his decision on the American presence and transition in Afghanistan. So it was an opportunity for me to both listen to ideas and interests and concerns from our partners in the region, but also to explain the president's policy and his decision, and to make especially clear that the United States remains very much committed to the security and prosperity of our partners throughout Central Asia, and to talk in some detail with the leaders in each country about that.
What were some of the major concerns they raised?
I think overall there's this general sense, which is unfortunate and incorrect, that the United States is just leaving, that we're somehow leaving our partners to cope with whatever challenges may arise in the region. And I was able to, you know, very clearly address the fact that I understand that concern, but it really is misplaced, that the United States has strong relationships with Uzbekistan, with Kazakhstan, with Kyrgyzstan, and all the other countries in the region, that we've made a commitment to Afghanistan to continue to support them through security cooperation, through economic cooperation and development, and to maintain a strong relationship with Afghanistan as well. So I think that was the general concern. And then, of course, the specific concern was about the security situation. And so I was able to talk in some detail about our plans for a transition in the security mission and handing over, as is appropriate, primary responsibility for security to not just Afghanistan, but to, you know, countries in the region, but that we stand ready to help all the countries in the region to build their capacity to provide for security for their countries.
In post-2014 period.
Post-2014, but we've started already. We have security relationships with all the countries in the region. They vary, they differ, because each country is different, each country has different needs and interests, and so we always try to tailor our security relationships to fit, whether it's more border security or whether it's supporting modernization. We're ready to work with our partners in the region, and I was able to talk about that.
We know that this administration has been reviewing its Central Asia policy for a while now, and based on what you heard from the leaders in the region and based on what we know at this point, what do you see as U.S. priorities and interests in the region?
I think our priority is to give the countries of Central Asia every opportunity to be more integrated in the international economy, in the international political system, to make it possible for their societies to be linked up as each desires and as appropriate. So to focus on people-to-people contacts, to focus on educational opportunities, to do whatever we can to improve the investment and business climate with our partners. So much of our focus has been on security because that was necessary because of the Afghanistan mission. But during my trip, I had a very strong view that is important and the security cooperation needs to continue. But now we have an opportunity with its transition to have a more balanced relationship and to support the engagement of all our partners more broadly in the economic, political, and social spheres as well.
The United States has always been criticized for not having a balanced relationship in the region. When we cover human rights violations in the region, and almost every time I interview a human rights activist or advocate, I hear things like, well, U.S. does not dare, U.S. doesn't have the courage, U.S. hesitates to press on some of the really critical human rights issues. What will you do to balance?
It's not that hard. I think that, and it's our duty, it's our obligation, but it's also our very strong commitment. The way I explain it when I traveled to partners and did on this trip was that the United States has relationships with countries, not just with governments. And so we have a commitment to doing what we can to engage with and support civil society, young entrepreneurs, students, and actually in each of the countries I visited, in each capital, I actually met with representatives from civil society. When I was in Kazakhstan, I was hosted at a wonderful reception with young leaders from business, from government, from education. And so we shouldn't... Our engaging with the societies of these countries is not anti-government, and we can do both, and we do both in the relationships with all of our partners.
Are you still pushing for the new Silk Road initiative, concept, vision?
We are, and more importantly, we are now moving towards concrete proposals, concrete programs that build that interconnectivity, that bring the region out into the international community and international economy, but also bring the international economy to the region. So building linkages in energy, especially in electricity distribution, working to support ideas for water relations in the water sector, which is so important in the region because all of the important water resources cross borders. Central Asia is a fabulous, wonderful place that proves that we are all interconnected and that there is no solution that a single country can advance, that it really takes cooperation because we all affect one another. The Fergana Valley is a really great example of that, and that can create complications, but it also creates opportunity. And so the new Silk Road is in that spirit, and I got to hear a lot about how some of these programs are advancing. I frankly also got to hear about some concerns about how they're not making progress, and so it was a good opportunity for me to understand perspectives and commit to coming back here to Washington and working on them.
Well, based on our reporting about the new Silk Road concept, and we've been reporting this for a long time, we don't see a lot of eagerness or enough political will in the region. You know, there isn't as much excitement in the region as it is here. And at times it seems like the United States wants this concept to be realized more than the Central Asians themselves. Do you sense that, or is it...
I think that would be dangerous if that were the case, because we can't want a benefit or a program or an opportunity more than our partners do. I think it's less wanting it more or wanting it less. Maybe the United States has more experience with some of these complex, multi-country cooperative programs. You know, we work in NATO, we work in the WTO, we work in lots of multilateral organizations. And so even though it's harder to do things together, it's worth the investment. And maybe that's harder for some of our partners in Central Asia to see because there are issues, there are historic issues of borders, and there are questions about, you know, how do you make it a win-win? But having hesitancy because it's not easy to see the win-win doesn't mean necessarily that there's a refusal to discuss it. And since the time I was in the region, I know that there was a very important meeting in Astana on the idea of various water projects, in particular the Rogun Dam that was held by the World Bank, which is a great multilateral institution. And so I think it takes these meetings and it takes getting used to the idea of how complicated these negotiations and these projects can be. But we're in it for the long haul, so we're happy to work with our partners, even if it does take a little while to sort through all these complexities.
And you are supporting the World Bank report on Rogun.
Well, the World Bank report is an expert report, so it was explicitly tasked because the World Bank is a neutral actor. It has the expertise. It doesn't have a particular political view one way or another. And so with a neutral report, that helps to then address the political concerns of all the different partners. So we support the report in the sense that we value the expertise, and we think that that expertise and that knowledge should then be the basis for making political decisions going forward. And we've told our partners that. Government of Uzbekistan has had some doubts, we know that, but I note that they did send a high-level minister to that meeting, and we take that as a very positive sign that they're willing to engage and address their concern or speak out about their concerns, but also talk to the partners about that.
In the light of what Russia is doing in Ukraine and how things are developing in that part of the world, what is your assessment of how this is affecting Central Asian governments and people? And most importantly, how is this shaping the U.S. policy?
There's a long-held cultural connection and shared history with Russia that is valuable and understood by people and governments in the region, and the United States needs to respect that. But I think that there is, frankly, and I heard it when I was visiting, fear and concern about whether Russia is inclined to throw its weight around more generally in Eurasia, not really only focusing on Ukraine. There's a similar concern in Europe. The Baltic states are concerned. So I think Russia is a great country, but I think the Russian leadership and Russian people should understand that it is viewed with concern and even fear by its neighbors, not in the abstract, but because of Russia's actions in Ukraine. This affects U.S. policy largely because we have long stated our commitment, and we have worked very, very firmly to support the sovereignty and territorial integrity of all members of the international community. We have to have that basic security, that basic understanding that all countries in the international community are going to deal with one another as sovereign equals. They vary in terms of power, but in terms of international law, they are sovereign equals, and they need to respect one another. And with that, any dispute can be resolved eventually, any concern can be negotiated, but that respect is first and foremost the basis for all we do in international relations. And Russia's failure to respect those principles in Ukraine is a matter of concern for all countries in the international system. So what we are doing is we are reinvesting in our relationships with the countries in the region. We are visiting to make clear that the United States does value those relationships, and we're listening to our partners and listening to their concerns.
The Central Asian governments are very concerned about any kind of instability that may spread out of Afghanistan once the United States leaves or decreases the number of troops there. But with what's happening in Russia, do you sense that the concern over what Russia is doing may overtake the concern over Afghanistan?
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of it in those terms. I think unfortunately, when you're in a leadership position, you're able to be and have to be concerned about many challenges before you. I think that my sense was that the concern about Afghanistan was more immediate because it's not that it's nearer by, but that the instability is really viewed with some instability and uncertainty is always a concern because you don't know what you're dealing with. I think the concerns about Russia are also rooted a certain amount of uncertainty in terms of whether the Russian leadership, like I said, more generally, is going to start putting pressure on its neighbors. I think there's an understanding and a recognition in the region that right now the crisis is about Ukraine, and Russia's focus is on Ukraine, and that Russia is a longer-term challenge. But the good news for that is that we have time to build up capacity, to build up relationships, to continue to support, for example, Kazakhstan and its aspiration to become a member of the WTO. So we have time to address some of those concerns.
You have worked as an academic. You have also served in the Pentagon, and now you serve in the White House. You're a policymaker. Those two things come together as you do your work. Studying Central Asia from here, you know, knowing how much interest is there in Washington and the decrease in funding for studying Central Asia, do those factors affect your work?
I personally, and we in the U.S. government, do have great concern about the reduction in funding for studying. My studies as a graduate student were supported in part by U.S. government grants. I learned to speak Russian with U.S. government funding. And so I think investing in the future, we go to our partners and we lecture them about investing in their future and investing in their students and investing in education. And we should lecture ourselves more and pay attention about that as well. I do think there are vibrant studies in Russian studies, certainly, and there are some terrific universities that focus on what we now call Central Asia that has deep historic roots. So I think there is a baseline of investment in the region, but the United States should recognize the importance of the region, importance of the language, the culture, and the history, as well as current events. I mean, one of the things I was really struck by, and I was lucky to be in the region, was that all these places and all this history and all these visible reminders of the history and the past and important historical events helped me actually to understand the conversations that I was having with leaders and with civil society representatives and with business leaders in the moment. So it's not either or. You can't just do policy or just be more academic. You really do have to have both. And I came back and talked to my friends who were in the university. I told them they're doing the right thing. And I love meeting with students, and it made me aware again of what a terrific thing that is to do, to invest in our own future. Yeah, and the funding has been cut. The United States, like many countries, has faced the effects of the economic challenges that we've been coping with over the past few years. So the reality is our budgets have shrunk. While our budgets have shrunk, though, that doesn't mean that they disappear. And there is a committed core of people who have fought for funding for student programs, for education, for research, study abroad. There are still valuable programs like the Fulbright program that enable Americans to travel abroad and our friends and colleagues from partner countries to visit here. But I also think that business has a role in this, and universities often build really good partnerships with business. And so I'm interested in exploring whether some of the businesses that are involved in Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan and in other countries in the region would view this also as a long-term investment to support these kinds of exchanges as well.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.